Good afternoon, true believers. This is DJ Powers on Between the Panels every Thursday from 2 to 3 on radio.dominican.edu, and it is our fourth week together, I believe, and I am excited again, of course, to come back to you guys with some news because we have the tail end of New York Comic Con that ended just this past weekend, so we have a lot of fun and juicy news to get into, a lot of exciting announcements, a lot of exciting stuff coming our way later this year and early next year. But before we get to that, of course, the system is we're going to go over the weekly stack. So we're going to go over what books came out this week that I think are worth your dollar. So let's start off right from the top. Dead No More, The Clone Conspiracy number 1 by Dan Slott with art by Jim Chung. This is the Amazing Spider-Man event of the year and possibly the decade, depending on how this plays out. Dan Slott is playing off many long, long planted seeds in his Spider-Man run. Coming close to an end here with the Clone Conspiracy. The villainous Jackal, for those of you who don't know, is one of Spider-Man's longest-standing foes. He has a history of cloning, and he was very responsible in the cloning of Spider-Man earlier in the 90s to create Ben Reilly, the Scarlet Spider, and most recently Kane Parker, the second Scarlet Spider. But he is back, and he's better than ever. He has a nefarious plan to win over the world with his newfound powers of full-on reincarnation. So instead of just cloning somebody, making a cheap copy, the Jackal has found a way to make an exact replica of the person who has previously passed with memories intact and feelings from the moment they died. So it is questionable whether he's doing cloning or if he's bringing people back from the dead. And as we all know, as us Spider-Man fans know, death is a big part of Spider-Man's world. He is influenced by the death of his Uncle Ben, and every pivotal moment afterwards that had followed would be the death of a friend, whether it be Jean DeWolf or Captain Stacy, or Gwen Stacy, most importantly. And the Jackal has been reincarnating villains and loved ones of Spider-Man's past, and he's bringing them all back in one big wave. Many gears are turning. It's a crazy event. Jim Chung's art is off the wall. I read the first issue last night. I can't get enough, and I'm really excited to see where this goes, but also really scared because some crazy stuff's going to go down, and Peter Parker's world's going to come crashing down around him. So if you want to get into the pinnacle Amazing Spider-Man event of the year, then absolutely pick up Dead No More, The Clone Conspiracy number 1. And then if you stick to the mainline Spider-Man title, The Amazing Spider-Man, every issue will be a spotlight issue highlighting a different character of the Clone Conspiracy storyline. Next up, we have Dr. Octopus, who is recently back from the dead because of the Jackal, of course. And Dr. Octopus has recently come into prominence because a couple years ago, he took over the body of Peter Parker and for about 3 years was Spider-Man, a villain masquerading as Spider-Man. And he recently learned what it meant to be humble and whatnot. But the Dr. Octopus that has come back is a more villainous turn. He's back to his villainous ways to plague Peter Parker and ally himself with the Jackal and many of the other villains that hate Spider-Man. So Clone Conspiracy number 1, absolutely an exciting story. Next issue, just preface, by the way, we have a lot of issues this week. It is an exciting week to be a comic fan. So the weekly stack might last a little longer than normal, but that's okay because nothing wrong with good comics. So next up, we have Adventure Time number 57, written by Christopher Hastings with art by Ian McGinty. Definitely read Adventure Time comics because from Boom Studios, and they put the fun above all else in comic books, which like the cartoon does for fans of the cartoon. And it's great to get into them now considering the show unfortunately just got announced that its last season is coming up. Season 9 will be the end of Adventure Time. It broke my heart, and I'm sure it broke many others' hearts. But if you want to stick to the adventures of Finn and Jake, their adventures will continue on in the form of comic books. So absolutely pick up Adventure Time, especially if it's being written by Christopher Hastings, because Christopher Hastings is somewhat of a rising star in the mainstream comic book world because he would recently have a lot of popularity. It's still going on online. You can look up Dr. McNinja is Christopher Hastings' love child. He made that series and publishes pages of the series every Wednesday and Friday, and it's going on. It's coming close to its end, actually, so a lot of endpoints for books these past couple months, but absolutely read Christopher Hastings' Dr. McNinja if you want to get a sense of the comedic, wacky writing that he can do. Nothing is out of the realm of possibility for Hastings, which is what makes him a perfect fit for the Adventure Time comic books, because it is a fun, easy platform to digest for readers, and nothing is impossible in the world of Adventure Time. So if you want to have just a good time, not have to worry about continuity or crazy universes or worlds or anything like that, absolutely pick up Adventure Time number 57 from Boom Studios. Out just yesterday, October the 12th, was New Comic Book Day. And our next release, this is a good one, All-Star Batman number 3, written by Scott Snyder, with art by the legendary John Romita Jr., and colored by Dean White. Dean White is one of my favorite colors, by the way. I would say probably top two. Him and Jordy Belair are definitely my two favorite colorists. I'll get into his colors in a minute. But why is All-Star Batman number 3 a book that you should be buying? Well, Scott Snyder, the past couple years, when DC did their New 52 relaunch back in 2011, Scott Snyder was taking over the Batman line, and he was the writer on the mainstream Batman book. And both him and artist Greg Capullo made absolutely every issue a complete masterpiece in comics. Masterclass in what a comic book should be and how a comic can be made. And he played the long game. So over his 51 issues as a Batman writer, Scott Snyder laid out this epic telling of the conflict between Batman and the Joker and what Batman means to Gotham. So, but with the Rebirth relaunch, Tom King, who is one of the best writers in comics today, has taken over the Batman line. So Scott Snyder's no longer writing Batman, but DC was like, you know what? We know that you are a big Batman guy, and the fans want more Batman from you. So they gave him this book, All-Star Batman. And what Scott Snyder's doing with this book is every month, he gets an issue to come out every month. He's not two a month like some of the other DC books currently, but every single arc is going to focus on a different villain in Batman's Rogues Gallery. And as we all know, Batman's Rogues Gallery is one of the biggest appeals of Batman. He has one of the craziest line of villains ever, and currently he's deep in the middle of his Two-Face story, where Batman has to take Two-Face across the country, so he's not in Gotham anymore. He's taking him across the country on a Mad Max-style road trip, where every single villain in the DC universe, for whatever reason, wants Two-Face. There's some kind of crazy bounty, we don't know why yet, some kind of crazy bounty on Two-Face, and every villain wants it. So Batman's on a cross-country semi-truck road trip across America, and every villain is hot on their tail. So if you want some crazy, heart-pounding, Mad Max-style Batman journeys, absolutely. John Romita Jr. is firing on all cylinders currently. His art, John Romita, by the way, has been around since, I believe, the 80s as a comic book artist, and his work has only gotten better with age, so, you know, like a fine wine. And Dean White is one of the best colorists today. You know, colorists can really elevate a work, and Dean White's is one of those colorists where you could have the two greatest creators ever, but they still wouldn't achieve what the book would be if they didn't have Dean White on colors. So it's one of those underappreciated artists that I want to get out there, and this All-Star Batman story is perfect for him because he gets all these crazy villains to draw. He got to color. There was one scene that he colored. It was Batman standing over a villain and Batman had a chainsaw, which you don't see very often. So absolutely read All-Star Batman number 3 to get the sense of you can take the bat out of Gotham, but you can't take the Gotham out of the bat. All-Star Batman number 3 on sale. Absolutely a great series. Go read it. And next up, we have Black Science number 25 by Rick Remender and Matteo Scalera. Rick Remender, I've preached about him before. He writes Deadly Class, which is one of my absolute favorite books right now. And he has another series from Image Comics called Black Science, and that follows the exploits of Grant McKay and his Dimensionauts as they travel across time and space perilously, I might add, because their machine, I believe they call it the Onion, because the layers of the universe, it's pretty clever, it malfunctions and they're thrown across dimension after dimension. They don't know when the next jump is ever going to be, so it's just them trying to survive as they jump from universe to universe. And even though it's issue number 25, Rick and Matteo are just getting started. Their story's going to go on for years and years. It feels like we've been with these characters forever. It's been about 5 years now. But Rick Remender has even said himself, you know, I'm just getting started. You guys don't even know what's coming. And without spoiling anything, if you had known the kind of crazy stuff that's come before, you would be scared if it's going to get only worse for Grant McKay and his friends. Because the first couple of issues really proved that in this adventure where you don't know what's going to come next, nobody's truly safe. So every issue truly is heart-pounding because literally anybody could bite the bullet. You know, Grant McKay has almost bit the bullet, and he's our main character. So it's just exciting to see what sick stuff Rickomender could possibly do to his readers, how heart-wrenching he could possibly get. So if you want some high-concept, dimension-hopping science fiction, absolutely read Black Science. The first four trades are also out in stores right now if you want to catch up and start from the beginning. Never a bad way to do so. So our next issue is Darth Vader number 25. Good, a lot of anniversary issues today. Darth Vader number 25 by Kieran Gillen and Salvador LaRocca. So ever since Marvel reacquired the license to publish Star Wars back in, I believe it was 2011 or so. No, 2013. It was 2013. Back when Marvel got that license back, because Marvel used to publish Star Wars comics way, way back in the day, back when they were doing Return of the Jedi and A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back and all that. Marvel finally got it back because Disney acquired the license to Star Wars, and Disney also has a license to Marvel. So Marvel's been publishing a lot of Star Wars stories. Their main books have been Star Wars, the core Star Wars series, and Darth Vader. Darth Vader is unfortunately coming to an end very soon. It is actually this very last issue. This is what just came out. And Kieran Gillen and Salvador LaRocca have done every single issue together, which in today's world of comics, to have an artist do 25 issues in a row without being interrupted is almost impossible, to be completely honest. So there's never going to be anything quite like the Darth Vader run. And it's consistently, for my money, been the strongest book in Marvel's current Star Wars line. And it's going to be sad. It's going to be sad when it goes. But Kieran Gillen has consistently given us a book that's centered around the Dark Lord of the Sith. And it was what a book about the Dark Lord of the Sith should be. Darth Vader is cold, calculating, and merciless. He's not necessarily a hero, but you still want to root for him because he's freaking Darth Vader. No words are wasted and no action is taken without being perfectly thought out and planned by Vader himself. Vader at his most badass and his coolest as he plots against Emperor Palpatine and unites with a rambunctious archaeologist named Dr. Aphra, who was created by Kieran Gillen for the Star Wars comics. And speaking of her, it was just announced that she's going to get her own series by Kieran Gillen again, and one of my favorite artists who is one of my favorites from the Jeff Parker Thunderbolts run of the past couple years, Kev Walker. So Kieran and Kev are going to unite to tell the story of Dr. Aphra, who's kind of almost like a dark Han Solo. She has a Wookiee friend named Black Crinston. He's basically if Chewbacca was a murderous mercenary, and she has a C-3PO and R2-D2 type companions, but they're called murder droids because their perfection, instead of being ambassadors and tech stars, they are dark, torturous murder bots. So if you want to get kind of a dark twist on Han Solo, then absolutely read Dr. Aphra. Kieran Gillen is returning to a character he created, but before you do, pick up the finale of Darth Vader in stores today from Marvel Comics. It's going to be sad to see it go, but hopefully Darth Vader returns in the comic book form sometime very soon. So we only got two more before we get into the news. So Doom Patrol number 2 by Gerard Way and Nick Darrington. I believe I've sung the praises of Doom Patrol earlier in our show a couple weeks ago. But Doom Patrol by Gerard Way is the headliner of the Young Animal imprint from DC Comics. And Doom Patrol, before the X-Men were even a thing, were heralded as the strangest hero of all. Strangest heroes of all, excuse me. And this continues the new story from Gerard Way. The surreal and non-specific writing, because there's a lot of weird stuff. The first issue, the front cover, has a gyro, like a gyro sandwich, and it's a sticker, and you peel it away, and you see this deep, detailed, intricate universe underneath the gyro, because Gerard Way is playing with this idea of everything is its own universe, and they have this whole weird, odd, existential conversation between two of the main characters. One of them is eating a gyro, and he says, what if there's just this deep, intricate universe within this gyro, and we're not aware of it? And then the other one says, yeah, we could be inside someone else's gyro right now. And then Robot Man, who's the headliner of Doom Patrol, pops out of their gyro. So the writing can be really weird, and it is really weird, and it can be very nonspecific and hard to follow, but it's not for everyone. But if you just stick with this book, and you see the kind of crazy stuff that Gerard Way has planned, then it's, you know, going to be really interesting to see who could possibly carry the torch after Grant Morrison's cherished run of Doom Patrol back in the day. So If you want to get into Doom Patrol, absolutely pick up Doom Patrol number 2 from Gerard Way and Nick Darrington. Peel back the Euro, and let's get weird. So, our last book, this one I put in at the last minute the other day because I thought it was very fitting. Old Man Logan number 12 by Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino. So it's very fitting, very coincidental, that a comic book following the adventures of an older and grizzled Wolverine would be released the week after a film following the adventures of an older grizzled Wolverine was announced. So as you all know, I believe I went over it last week, Logan, the third film in the Wolverine franchise, got announced, and it's going to follow an older Wolverine who is a little more disenchanted with the idea of mutant and human coexistence. His healing factor is dying, and he just wants to be left alone. And Old Man Logan has been a series from Marvel Comics that has been following the exploits of an older Wolverine. But how did Wolverine get older? Well, recently, I gotta go way back for me to explain this one. So, a couple years ago, I believe it was 2007, Mark Millar, who you know as the guy who made Kingsman and Kick-Ass and all those crazy stories, pretty much anything that's a comic book movie, Mark Millar's had a hand in. So, he wrote a Wolverine short story. It was about 6 issues called Old Man Logan, and it followed a possible future where what if every single Marvel villain that ever existed banded together to kill all of the Marvel heroes and take over the world. So that happened, and the heroes lost, but Logan, Wolverine, was one of the few heroes to survive, and this story followed in a post-apocalyptic wasteland Wolverine as he just tried to live a new, quiet life with his new family, but certain events, you know how that goes, certain events pull him back into the fold for one last quote-unquote job, one last superhero gig. So Old Man Logan now, this new series, it follows the what-if idea of after our main Wolverine died, which he did in the Marvel Universe. So after he's dead, the Logan from Old Man Logan got pulled from a different universe. Can't explain how. He got pulled through that universe, and he's now in our main Marvel Universe, and it follows him in his quote-unquote past of what if Logan from the post-apocalyptic future had the chance to change everything and prevent his dark future from happening. So it is a really dark, deep look at Wolverine and what makes him tick. Jeff Lemire, of course, I've sung his praises before. He's an amazing writer, and Andrea Sorrentino is an outstanding sequential artist. So if you want to follow the stories of our favorite Knucklehead, then absolutely pick up Old Man Logan number 12. So this has been Between the Panels with DJ Powers on radio.timnickin.edu, where we talk everything comics all the time. We're going to go on a quick break, and when we get back, we'll get into the news from New York Comic Con this weekend. So I'll see you guys very soon.
So don't cry.
Welcome back, True Believers. This is DJ Powers on Between the Panels with radio.dominican.edu, and we're talking everything comics all the time. So we got a lot of great news to get into this week. New York Comic Con just ended last weekend, and Marvel, DC, Valiant are the three publishers I'm going to talk about today, and they all came out swinging with some big news. So we're going to start from the top with Marvel. So I'm going to go... Let's start with Richard Rider returning as Nova. So... For those of you who may not know, Nova, N-O-V-A, is not one of the more high-profile characters with Marvel Comics, but he's still one of Marvel's biggest legacy characters that people may not know about. But Richard Rider, debuting in 1976's Nova No. 1, was basically Marvel's answer to the Green Lantern character. So Green Lantern, of course, is one of many quote-unquote space cops. Each has their own sector or their quote-unquote beat, and... It's a long-standing Green Lantern Corps where aliens from across the universe band together to become this policing force to keep peace in the universe. So the same, not going to lie, as much as I love Marvel, same exact concept with Nova Comics, with the Nova Corps. And Richard Rider was an unsuspecting teenager who one day stumbled upon a dying alien of the Nova Corps. I can't for the life of me remember his name. But after being the one to stumble upon the dying Nova Corps member, the Nova Corps member bestowed his powers onto Richard Rider. Sound familiar? That's because it's exactly what happened with Green Lantern. But what differentiated Nova and Green Lantern was Nova was a teenager, so it followed the exploits of this teenager and how does he juggle being a superhero that now defends the entire planet and also be a teenager in high school. So... over the years, that was Nova's gig. He joined certain teams, such as the New Warriors, which was a collection of teenager superheroes and younger superheroes. And then he later on became the lone Nova Corps member after the death of the entirety of the Nova Corps. Kind of dark, but he kept his head up, and he defended the entire universe as Marvel's premier space cop up until 2010, where after a series of universe-threatening events, the cancer universe, which was a universe heralded by the Elder Ones in the Marvel Universe, was bleeding over into our universe, and it was up to Richard Rider, the Guardians of the Galaxy, and many other cosmic heroes to band together and save all of reality from being destroyed by this cancerverse. And the series ended with the heroes being successful, but not without the cost of Richard Rider's life. So Richard Rider has been out of the fold since 2010. The character of Nova returned in 2012 as Sam Alexander, and ever since then, people have been wondering, oh, when's Richard Rider going to come back? Is Richard Rider ever going to come back? We need Nova. We need the older Nova. And Marvel's been saying, nope, we have no plans for Richard Rider as of yet. So hang tight. Sam Alexander's your Nova right now, and he's doing a great job. But just recently at New York Comic Con, Marvel surprised everyone and said, hey, Richard Rider is coming back, and him and Sam Alexander are going to headline a Nova series together where they both are going to play, rather than being Richard Rider, who's older now, play a mentor to Sam. Sam's going to play more of a mentor to Richard and kind of show him the ropes of what it means to be a Nova in today's day and age with the universe having gone through some crazy stuff since Richard's absence. So the series is going to be written by Jeff Loveness, who is one of Marvel's newest writers, and he's honestly one of the funniest writers today. So he's written a couple amazing Spider-Man specials, and he's written recently a Groot miniseries that was really, really hilarious and really heartwarming. And he's going to take the reins on Nova with Richard Rider and Sam Alexander teaming up. And Ramon Perez, who has some of the cleanest and slickest art in the business, is going to co-write and also be on lead art duties with Mr. Loveness. So look for Nova to premiere in December following the legacy of Richard and Sam. And speaking of legacy in Marvel Comics, I think it's really important that Marvel is doing that nowadays where they have two of a lot of the same hero to exemplify a lot of this legacy that lies in the Marvel Universe. So we, of course, have Peter Parker, who's older, mentoring Miles Morales, the younger Spider-Man. We have Captain America's Steve Rogers mentoring Captain America's Sam Wilson. We have two Thors, and I believe as of right now, we're going to have Tony Stark mentoring a new Iron Man, Riri Williams, excuse me. And, you know, so it brings this really fun, lighthearted sense of legacy to the Marvel Universe that has always been in DC Comics since DC Comics was a thing. DC Comics is big on superheroes getting older, passing the torch, and then you have this whole family line of a certain hero. A certain superhero that is big on legacy is the Flash, more so than many others. The Flash has had many speedsters that have passed on the torch and taught one another, and they're really a family. So I'm really glad that Marvel, the past couple of years, has been working on getting that same sense of legacy, because it's important. You know, there's obviously going to be a lot of heroes in the world, and, you know, as an older generation, it's your responsibility to teach the younger generation. So I'm really excited that Nova is going to be that main book where Richard and Sam really team up and are in a book together. So that's going to be really exciting. So another big announcement, this one is actually, while we're still in the comics side of Marvel announcements, this one's my favorite announcement of New York Comic Con, I think. Marvel Comics has announced a new ongoing series headlined by fan favorite character America Chavez, aka Miss America. She is a dimension hopping, literally she punches reality, and she has super strength and can fly, and she's an LGBT Latina teenage superhero who debuted in Joe Casey and Nick Jurgota's 2011 miniseries Vengeance. So Vengeance was a miniseries that followed a group of quote-unquote, you know, kind of murky gray area heroes who maybe were going to be villains down the line. You know, you weren't really sure which way they were going to swing. And America Chavez was the breakout character of that entire miniseries, and she ended up being a hero, and she's been in a couple different books the past couple of years. She was a big member of Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey's Young Avengers, where she got the most popular. And most recently, Al Ewing and Kenneth Rockefeller's 2014 series, The Ultimates. So, that series, America is what it's going to be called, this upcoming one, is really exciting because what it exemplifies is Marvel taking big strides and having their line of characters and creators reflect the world outside your window, and having an LGBT Latina superhero is just exciting because obviously that's such a diverse representation that we don't normally get in comics, and we would have never gotten a comic like this years and years ago. You know, maybe even early 2000s, it would have been hard to get a comic like this. So it's exciting that it's, you know, it's 2016. We're gonna get a book starring America, Miss America Chavez. And we don't have a creative team yet, but if what Marvel announces as a creative team ends up being as diverse as the main character itself, then we really are going to have a book to look out for, and we're going to have a shining gem in the Marvel line. So we don't have a release date yet, but look for America to get a release date sometime next year, and then absolutely put that on your pull list. Let your local comic shop know that you want America number one. So moving on from that, exciting news, of course. We have, on the TV side of things, Marvel finally released their first trailer for the fourth of their Netflix shows, Iron Fist. So after Daredevil Season 1, Daredevil Season 2, and then we had Jessica Jones, and then Luke Cage just last... I can't even keep track of time now. Last week we had Luke Cage, 2 weeks ago, and they're all going to be uniting in one big continuity, but before they can do that, Iron Fist is being introduced, and it will mark the fourth and final Defender before Marvel's Netflix series unite for their Defenders TV show on Netflix. So the Defenders is going to aim to be a street-level Avengers situation where they look out for the little guy, and they're going to look out for each other, and the little problems that the Avengers might not necessarily look out for. So Iron Fist follows the story of Danny Rand, who, after watching his parents die in a horrific plane crash in the East Asian mountains, he gets taken in by a coven of monks, a city of monks called Kunlun, and he grows up learning the ways of the Iron Fist, how to channel his chi, how to be a martial arts master, and then he returns to New York after all these years to reclaim his family's fortune, and he knows that his family's death was not an accident, so he looks for revenge in the streets of New York while also being... He's basically Kung Fu Batman, and that's really exciting because I love martial arts films. So I really hope that they inject this, you know, Shaolin Secrets of the 36th Chamber type deal into Iron Fist as a TV show, because that would be really, really, really exciting. So absolutely look out for Marvel's Iron Fist sometime in not sometime. I know exactly the date. March 2017, which is right around my birthday. We're going to get Marvel's Iron Fist. So if you want some crazy kung fu Bruce Lee Jet Li style action, absolutely be on the lookout for Marvel's Iron Fist next year. So absolutely exciting. Oh, and also in the TV side of things, Marvel got all of their Defenders actors together for the first time. So Charlie Cox, who plays Daredevil, Jessica Ritter. Well, anyway, Mike Coulter, who plays Luke Cage, Finn Jones, who plays Iron Fist, and Finn Jones, for those of you who may not know, yeah, I'm sure we have got a lot of Game of Thrones fans out there. Finn Jones was Loras Castell, who was like the pretty boy Knight of Roses or something from Game of Thrones. But he's our Iron Fist, so he's going from being a knight to being a martial arts master, which I think is pretty exciting. Kristen Ritter is her name. I'm sorry. Kristen Ritter is Jessica Jones. And so Charlie Cox, Kristen Ritter, Mike Coulter, Finn Jones, all united for the first time in person at New York Comic Con for the fans to announce the villain of the Defenders TV series. And she's being played by a pretty high-profile actress. It's Sigourney Weaver, who's Captain Ridley herself from the Alien series. So super badass. I'm really excited that Sigourney Weaver is going to get involved with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And they haven't announced which character exactly she's going to play, but I hope we get some kind of crazy long-standing Marvel villain that will get some spotlight and get some love, because Sigourney Weaver in a Marvel show, that set me off. I was super excited. So I can't wait for that to come down the pipeline. And then off from the sidelines came Jon Bernthal, who played the Punisher in Daredevil Season 2, to let the fans know that Punisher is, in fact, getting his own Netflix show later next year. So in case we weren't already getting spoiled enough with all these crazy good Netflix Marvel shows, Jon Bernthal had to drop that bomb on us and let us know that Punisher is on his way to punish those who have done wrong. So absolutely get excited for the Punisher, get excited for the Defenders, but first, get excited for Iron Fist for some crazy martial arts action. So for those of you who've been listening, and for those of you who've just been tuning in, this is Between the Panels on radio.dominican.edu with DJ Powers. And we've been talking everything comics all the time for the past couple of weeks, and right now we are currently deep within the news, what I personally believe are the biggest news stories that come out of the bigger publishers in New York Comic Con. And now we're on moving on to DC Comics. And they have a couple high-profile releases as well coming up that they announced. And I'm going to start off with Batwoman number 1 coming as a part of their Rebirth relaunch in March 2017. So Batwoman's going to receive an ongoing comic series written by Marguerite Bennett with art by Steve Epting, who is one of the noir masters of comic book art. So I'm really excited to see what kind of crazy noir art style he can bring to our beloved Batwoman. So for those of you who don't know who Batwoman is the alter ego of Kate Kane, who is a cousin to Bruce Wayne, who we all know is Batman, and she was in the military, the American military, but she got dishonorably discharged for, I don't remember for what, but I remember she got discharged from the military, but she decided, you know what, I'm going to use my training for something good. She was inspired by her cousin's exploits, and she became the Batwoman of Gotham City. And recently, she has been teaming up with Batman for the first time in quite a while in the DC Comics Rebirth series, Detective Comics, which, by the way, everyone, is really good. Go read Detective Comics. And Batwoman has been acting as sort of a drill sergeant for Batman's team of heroes. So Robin, Spoiler, Orphan, and Clayface, who's a villain, have all been uniting as a team of heroes under Batman and Batwoman's tutelage, and Batwoman's been the drill sergeant. But now this new series is going to follow Batwoman as she takes on black ops missions from Batman himself, and the first couple of arcs are going to follow Batwoman going around the globe on the hunt for a black arms dealer who's selling a deadly bioweapon made from the venom of these disgusting monsters that recently attacked Gotham in the Night of the Monster Men crossover. So Batwoman has not had, that's not true, she's had a lot of great series the past couple years, but she hasn't really been getting the best treatment from DC Comics itself, because Batwoman is one of DC Comics' few LGBT heroes. She is a lesbian woman, And so in her previous series, written from DC Comics, Batwoman had a girlfriend, and they were going to get married, and they had plans to get the two married. But DC Comics told the writer, who then stepped off after this series, after this controversy, DC Comics told the writer, "We don't want our heroes to get married because that brings a sense of happiness to their lives that we don't think they necessarily deserve, and it takes out conflict." But it was just an awful move because it was for them to have, this is the first time that they've done this anti-marriage thing, which isn't true because Superman has been married to Lois Lane, and, you know, other kinds of marriages and relationships have been going on in the DCU. It was just a bad move that their first time to say we don't want these characters to be married was with their only headlining lesbian character. So it created this large controversy, of course, and the current writer of the series, I can't for the life of me, oh, nope, I got it. Greg Rucka and J.H. Williams III decided that was ridiculous, so they stepped off the book, and the Batman one was on hiatus for a while. But ever since then, they've reinstated Batwoman as a character, they've treated her with the respect that she deserves, and she's finally getting her own ongoing series. So to support the character and get some awesome noir world-traveling stories, absolutely pick up Batwoman number 1 from Marguerite Bennett and Steve Epting out in March. Batwoman number 1 in stores March 2017. So, on the lighter side of things, DC Comics' two greatest icons, Batman and Wonder Woman, are going to team up next year, but not in the way you would ever think. So, for the past couple years, DC Comics has been publishing digital first series. They release them in digital chapters, following the Adam West 1966 Batman, and then also the 1977 Linda Carter Wonder Woman in digital first series. And now, these two icons who never got to meet on the TV screen are going to meet in comic book form. So it's going to be another digital first series, Batman 66 meets Wonder Woman 77. And it's going to be quite a crazy ride because the Batman 66 show was a little goofy and the Wonder Woman 77 show was just fun. I remember my mom would always tell me a lot of stories about the Wonder Woman show. And so these two shows, by the way, have defined comic book fans for a long time, whether they may not know it or not. That's been a lot of older generations' first exposures to the world of comic books, and these two icons are going to meet in the Adam West style goofy Batman, you know, bat shield, bat shark spray, all this crazy stuff. They're going to meet for the first time and have a comic book series, so it should be a lot of fun. So absolutely look out for Batman 66 meets Wonder Woman 77 next year in stores. I didn't get an exact release date, but that definitely should be a book that's on your radar if you just want fun, non-crazy serious comic books. So another big announcement to come out of DC's New York Comic Con slate was we already knew this book existed, but we didn't know if it was ever going to come out because it's been a long time. But a couple months ago, DC Comics announced a book called The Commandy Challenge. So, Commandy is a character created by Jack Kirby, who is the absolute god of comic books. Jack Kirby is responsible for creating many of Marvel and DC's most enduring characters. Jack Kirby created the Fantastic Four, the Inhumans. Jack Kirby created Iron Man. Jack Kirby created the New Gods with DC Comics. But one of his personally most cherished creations, personally, as I mean, this is one of Jack Kirby's personal favorite creations, is a post-apocalyptic DC comic series called Commandy, the Last Boy on Earth. And it just followed this human boy, Commandy, as he traveled in a post-apocalyptic wasteland that was controlled by a race of dark animal people. So it was a crazy, just high-concept science fiction fantasy adventure story, and to celebrate Jack Kirby's impending 100th birthday, DC Comics is doing a creator's mashup of Commandy, the Last Boy on Earth, called the Commandy Challenge. And so what they do is they pair a high-profile writer with a high-profile artist. So, example, we're getting a Neil Adams story, and we're also getting a Bruce Timm story on this book. And so what happens is each person writes 2 to 3 pages of the book, and then passes it off to the next writer and the next artist. And the next team's job is to continue the story that has been being continued by every writer and artist before them after each page. So the kind of fun they're having with this book is at the end of each page. You know, at the end of each story starts with Kamandi getting out of whatever challenge the previous writers put him in, and then ending with him getting put in another sticky situation. So it's just a really fun time. All these creators are saying they're having a good time just learning how to one-up each other, and absolutely just to support Jack Kirby on his 100th birthday coming up next year. Get Kamandi, the Kamandi Challenge. So absolutely look out for that from DC Comics. And finally, our last little... Well, not last, because we're going to go over a bit from Valiant, but Valiant Comics had a huge announcement this year at New York Comic Con. So what Valiant went over is, instead of dropping a lot of comic book news or anything like that, they just had one big bomb to drop on everyone, and that was the idea that Valiant's going to do a massive shared film universe, but they're going to do it in one six-part miniseries. But before I can tell you more about that, we're going to go on a quick little break. When you get back, we're going to talk about Valiant's crazy Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe series. So if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. So when we get back, we'll talk about that. This is DJ Powers on Between the Panels with radio.dominican.edu, and we'll see you after the break. I'm out of touch, I'm out of love. I'll pick you up when you're getting down. And out of all these things I've done, I will love you better now. Didn't want to come back from the break because Desperado by the Eagles is one of my favorite songs, but you know, I have a duty to my fans and I want to be here. So Valiant Comics, we were talking about Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe, which is an upcoming six-part live action web series from Valiant Comics teaming up with Bat in the Sun, which does a YouTube series called Superpower Beatdown. And this is exciting because Valiant is kind of one of the first instances of a non-Big Two publisher. This might even be the first instance straight up. It's just a non-Big Two publisher saying, you know what, we're going to get in on the movie game and we're gonna have fun with it. So they're not worried about having 30 movies that are going to set up for one crazy big, you know, Avengers-style Unity film. But so what Valiant's doing is they're going to have Arrow from the TV show Arrow veteran Michael Rowe play Ninjak, who, for those of you who may not know Ninjak, he's an English special agent, but he is also a ninja. So he had a lot of years. He has a crazy backstory of him going up into the undead monk, I believe his name was, and he learned the ways of the mind and the body from the monk. And he got all these crazy ninja skills, and he uses that to be a secret special agent for the MI6. So it's kind of this great gateway into the Valiant universe, because they're going to introduce pretty much every major character from the Valiant universe. So they're going to have Bloodshot, they're going to have Exo Man of War, Archer and Armstrong, the Eternal Warrior, Livewire, maybe even Shadow Man. but it's a great way to get him into get us into the Valiant universe, because he has this globe-trotting style of, you know, action, obviously, because he's going to go from locale to locale doing all these crazy missions, and then also, you know, he's going to have, because he's a special agent and that's his job to know, he's going to have some crazy knowledge on all of these crazy superheroes and crazy supervillains in the Valiant universe. So Valiant's really going all in here with their 6-part live-action web series, and the CEO of Valiant, I can't for the life of me remember his name, and I'm really sorry, but the CEO of Valiant in an interview was saying that, you know, the most important thing they want to do is just have fun, and they know it's a goofy comic world and they're not poking fun at themselves, but they also want to know that, like, you know, this is meant to be fun. So what they're trying to do is, the audience that they're mainly appealing to is maybe of the past couple decades, the Saturday morning cartoon crowd that may have been lost in the transition from a comic book and TV-based medium to this crazy expensive movie medium. They want to appeal to that fan base again and get that sense of action and globe-spanning fun. So, like, for example, in the very first episode, they announced that there's going to be 15 different locations all across the world, which is more than pretty much any blockbuster movie ever. So Ninjak is going all over the place. Ninjak is going to be our guide into the Valiant universe, because it's got some crazy stuff. Like, Jason David Frank, who many of you may know from your childhood watching the Power Rangers, is the Green Ranger. He's the famous Green Ranger from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. He's a fan favorite across the Power Rangers community and lots of comic book communities. He's going to be Bloodshot, so it's a little different than a Power Ranger, but Bloodshot is a one-man army. He has the ability to heal from any wound. He's super fast, super strong, and he is a militaristic machine. So absolutely look out for Valiant to take on Bloodshot. We're going to have pro wrestler John Morrison as Eternal Warrior, who is a warrior from the Dawn of Time, and he's pretty much Valiant's... Oh, what word can I use for Eternal Warrior? He's Valiant's old man character. You know, he's seen things. You know, he's crazy cool. I've picked up the previous Eternal Warrior Valiant series. It's absolutely worth your dollar. Pretty much any Valiant series you could pick up today is worth your dollar. Valiant series have been very good. Valiant was a big deal early 90s, mid 90s, but they fell off the map. They weren't doing well. And then recently, with the resurgence of comic books, they said, you know what, we're coming back into the fold. So they've been coming back in a big way. Valiant Comics is doing big things, and I'm really excited to see where Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe takes us. I want to see if we can maybe get some Renegades in there, or maybe get some... Mainly, I want Quantum and Woody. Quantum and Woody from Valiant is one of the funniest comic book series to ever be created, from Christopher Priest, and, you know, can't remember the artist. I'm doing a lot of not remembering today. So, but absolutely, if Ninjak, this crazy, serious, super globe-trotting ninja, can meet Quantum and Woody, who are these, excuse my French, but they're two dumbass, like, joke-cracking, dysfunctional pair of superheroes, if he can meet them and they can just, you know, make a couple jokes, make me laugh, I would be absolutely down to have Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe be the premier superhero show nowadays. So that about does it for all our news today. But before I go, you know, I'm going to let you guys know that if you had fun with me today and you want to have even more fun, absolutely go to the volleyball game later tonight. You can either go to the gym, or if you don't want to go to the gym, you can tune in on radio.dimnakin.edu. You can stay right here, 7 p.m. tonight. We're going to have the volleyball game live broadcast, 7 p.m. We have amazing sports broadcasters every game here at Dominican University. Go Penguins. And, of course, later tonight, you can listen to my good friend DJ Fizz talk about what's popping with pop culture today. 5 p.m., you know how it is. And every Thursday from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock, we have DJ Powers on Between the Panels. Everything comics all the time, radio.dominican.edu. I'm just one of many amazing shows here on radio.dominican.edu. But without further ado, that's all I have for you guys today. I can't wait to talk to you guys next Thursday. And I know I keep teasing it, but within the next 3 weeks, we're going to finally go over Guardians of the Galaxy and go over why that is the greatest film to ever possibly exist. So, see you guys next Thursday. Remember, 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock, radio.dominican.edu. I will see you guys next week. Excelsior.